Oh, brothers and sisters, he is risen.
He is risen.
That's the reason. Amen. It's the reason for the whole story, reason for the whole day. Let's hear the story from the Gospel of St. John, starting in chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Sometimes it seems like the good news is hiding in plain sight. At least that's what it looks like on this first Easter Sunday to the disciples and to Mary. Mary is making her way in the dark as the sun is just starting to rise to do her duty. She was going to go and embalm the body of Jesus with oils and with spices and with all the things that tradition would hold to do. It's a sign of love and respect. She is going there still under the cloud of Good Friday. It's still bad news, and she's still feeling the weight of that bad news as she makes her way to the tomb. When she gets there, she sees that the stone is rolled away, looks inside, and Jesus' body is gone. More bad news. It's not bad enough that Jesus is dead. They had to take his body too. The bad news just keeps piling up. So Jesus returns back. No, Jesus doesn't. Mary does. Mary returns back to find the disciples. Finds Peter and John. Peter and John hear this news, and they begin running towards the tomb. It's a foot race, and for some reason, John thinks it's really, really important that you know that he won. John gets there first. Doesn't go in, but does peek around the corner and sees that Jesus is not there. Sees some cloths that had wrapped his body laying in there. Peter shows up next, and he just bursts right into the tomb. Runs inside, looks around, and sees the same. Jesus is not there. The burial rags are there, along with the cloth that wrapped Jesus' head. But Jesus is nowhere to be found. They come back out. John walks all the way inside this time to look around. And it says that he believed. But what did he believe? Well, he believed what Mary had said. Jesus is gone. He is nowhere to be found. So Peter and John start walking their way back home. But Mary stays. Mary is so overwhelmed with grief and with sorrow that she can't bring herself to leave this tomb. And as she cries, she decides to take one more look into the tomb. Why? We don't really know. Maybe she was desperate. Maybe she just wanted to check and be sure. Maybe it was out of deep, deep pain and loss. She just had to be sure. And she looked in, and there she saw two angels. Spoiler alert. Anytime in Scripture where angels show up, it's almost always bad news. So the hits just keep on coming for Mary. But these two angels ask her a question. Woman, why are you crying? And she tells these two angels the same thing that she had told the disciples a bit earlier. They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. And as she's ready to storm out and make her way back, she almost bumps right into a man standing there who, seeing her in her despair, asks the same question. Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And now Mary's incensed. She goes, listen, if you took my Lord's body away, please just tell me where you put him, and I will go get him. And in that moment, Jesus says one word, Mary. He speaks her name, and in that moment, everything changes. Mary recognizes who she is talking to. It's Jesus. It's her teacher. She cries out, Rabboni, teacher, it's you. Falls at his feet and begins to cling to him. And Jesus says, don't hold on too tight. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell the disciples. Go and tell my brothers that I am ascending to the Father. So Mary hustles back to find Peter and John and the other disciples. And she goes back to be the first proclaimer of the gospel. The first preacher, Mary. And what does she say? She doesn't say he is risen. I mean, it's true. It's what we proclaim loud and clear. It's the whole reason we're here. But she doesn't say he is risen. Instead, she says, I have seen the Lord. That was the good news for Mary in that moment. I have seen the Lord. And it says that she went on then to tell them everything that Jesus had said. It doesn't explain exactly what she told them, but I think we can infer from the text that she explained what she experienced. And if she said, I saw the Lord, I wonder if her next words were, and he saw me too, because he called my name. He knew me by name. Friends, the good news for all humanity is that he is risen from the dead. And the good news for you is that he sees you as you really are. Now you might be saying, is that really good news? I mean, I know myself. I can see myself in the mirror. I know the things that nobody else knows. Is that really good news? Reminds me of an experience I had just a couple of weeks ago. I've been driving a car here ever since I got to Community of Grace, actually before that. 2012 Lincoln, and bright red. It had about 175,000 miles on it, and it drove great. Everything still worked on it. Still looked pretty good, as long as you didn't get too close. About a year, maybe 2 years ago, I started noticing something. By the back doors at the bottom, some rust was starting to break through. So I did what any respectable, conscientious car owner would do. I ignored it. And then after it got bad enough, I went to the hardware store and got a can of red paint. Not can, a spray can. Close enough, sprayed right over that rust. Now it's gone. Problem solved. Fixed. So just a couple of weeks ago, I needed to bring my car in because the brakes were acting up. So go in and get a brake job done. And the mechanic calls me up and he says, yeah, you need brakes, but there's something else. And why don't I just show you? So he walked me back into the shop. The car is up on the lift. The tires are off. And he points his flashlight under the wheel well, and there it was. A big hole of cancer rust right on the frame. And he looked at me and he said, so, how long you planning on driving this car? Because the repair alone, just for that one spot, was going to cost more than the whole car was worth. And that's only the rust that he found. It was disappointing. It was bad news that my car was rusting out from under me. But I'm glad he found it. I'm glad he saw it. Friends, Jesus sees you, rust and all. But unlike that car that I had that's eventually going to wind up in a junkyard rusting away entirely, you are of infinite value. And when Jesus sees you, rust and all, he doesn't turn away. He doesn't see you as a lost cause. He doesn't say, you know what, you're just too far gone. He just calls your name and calls you to himself. Jesus sees it all. He sees your brokenness. He sees your failures. He sees the places where you have failed him, others, yourself. He's seen where you've missed the mark. He's seen where you have rebelled. He's seen when you have chased after other things ahead of him. He's seen all of it, and he's also seen your frustration. And he's seen your anger and your disappointment and your despair and your denials and your doubts. He sees it all and he does not turn away. Instead, he turned to the cross, went the whole way for you. And he knows that you can't pay for this, so he does. He pays for it entirely with his own shed blood to pay the price for your sin. That's how deep his love for you is to go all the way to the cross for you. And then he rose up to new life and invites you to join him because he loves you so much, he wants to be with you for eternity. That's how much he values you. That's how much he desires to save you. That is truly what he thinks of you when he sees you. Someone of infinite worth. And he calls you by name to himself. Jesus sees you. And he invites you to see him as he really is. Friends, it's Easter Sunday. But there'll be a Sunday after this, and a Sunday after this, and a Sunday after this. And all throughout church history, these Sundays have always been mini Easters. Small celebrations of coming together to celebrate the risen Lord. But we have a value here at Community of Grace, and that value is to see people the way Jesus sees people. We don't do this perfectly because we got plenty of rust on ourselves. But we try to take Jesus seriously as the one who sees you this way, just like he saw Mary. And if you'll come back next week and the week after that and come through those doors to come and see Jesus and worship and praise him, someone will see you. And they'll see you where you are. And if you come up and shake their hand, they'll share their name and they'll ask you for yours. So that the next time you come, you are seen, you are known, and somebody calls your name. That's the promise of community, of being a community of grace. Don't walk away from this place not knowing how much Jesus loves you, how much he has forgiven you, how much he sees you as you really are and loves you just the same, offers you his forgiveness and calls you by name into new life. That's what we celebrate today. That's why we are together. Be seen for who you really are, brothers and sisters. And see Jesus the way he sees you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come together and we celebrate this day with the words, "He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." That is the truth. And if it were not for that, there's no purpose in us meeting together. But it did happen. And we celebrate it again today. And we praise you and we thank you, Jesus, that you went all the way to the cross for us to pay the price for our sin out of your deep love for us. And that you were risen from the dead on the third day into eternal life to promise us eternal life. And that you still call us by name because you saw us before the foundations of the world. You saw us as someone worthy of your love, someone of immeasurable value. Thank you, Jesus, for seeing us in ways that we sometimes fail to even see ourselves. You know us better than we know ourselves. Thank you for loving us anyway and drawing us home as you call us by name. Help us now today, Lord, to see you, to be seen by you, and to see ourselves through your eyes. We pray all this today in Jesus' mighty and victorious name. Amen and amen.